Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My returning guest after too long a time is artist and photographer Tara Celio. Tara, welcome back.
Thank you.
If you were to try to describe on the air with no pictures, what your work is about, how would you describe it?
Well, my current work, we haven't spoken in so long. My current work, I make these kind of dramatic, eccentric, visceral still life using organic matter such as animal skeletons and insects, dirt, plants to kind of illustrate these scenes in nature that are kind of just otherworldly.
But they have a definite historical reference. Because I've seen things from the 16th to the 18th century in Europe. They were called Wunderkammers, or cabinets of curiosities. And what people used to do is take really odd things, and there was a real need for them in Europe at that time. People would send people out to collect odd birds or odd skeletons or kidney stones, or fetuses were used a lot too. And they would put them in these weird sculptural conglomerations, sometimes under a big bell jar, sometimes in even larger cabinets. And yours really follows along that tradition, except they're much more complicated.
Right. Art history is definitely a huge influence for me. I draw a lot of my work from old paintings, partly those, and Vanitas paintings, I think, goes in the same vein of what you were talking about.
Yep.
But definitely also old religious altarpiece paintings. Hieronymus Bosch is one of my big go-to painters. So just these kind of surreal, kind of dreamlike, but religious paintings have always been an inspiration for me, and I've just always loved to look at them. They're just so wild and interesting.
The thing, every time I look at your book, your work, and what you do with it, it strikes me as it's incredibly moral work, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me about the history of that for you? Because I don't run across a lot of artists who even care about morality.
Well, going back to Bosch is... his work was a lot about morality and mortality.
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you and morality, yeah.
Oh, okay. In terms of...
Were you raised a Catholic?
I was raised born again.
Okay.
So probably even more...
Yeah.
...aggressive than Catholic.
So morality was part of your upbringing.
Right. I mean, I grew up, even just hearing all the Bible stories, I went to church like 3 times a week. And ever since I was a little baby, so I think hearing all these stories and hearing about sin and the consequences for sin, but sin could be just anything that's human and self-indulgent in some way.
Yeah.
So, and that's something my work kind of touches on, or I think covers, because I, in the past especially, was working that out, kind of like, what is sin and why are these kind of human urges condemned as sin when they necessarily might not have to be. So my work always has kind of been playing with that concept and toying on it.
And in the end, do you then photograph these installations?
I do. So I, especially now with my newer work, my older work was very fleshy. So I would make these still life scenes with flesh and wine and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah, didn't you use like squid and pig's heads and stuff like that?
All kinds of things, yep.
So the shelf life of it must not have been that far. You got to tell me about that. Did it get really funky or what?
Yeah, it would smell bad.
Okay, all right.
But that process was different because I would shoot them in one day. So I would set up the still life, shoot it, and take it down. But my newer work with the skeletons and the insects, I can work on them for a really long time. And like, it's more of a sculptural piece now. So yeah, I make the sculpture and it's becoming even more like they could exist in the gallery by themselves without the photograph. But so I make these sculptural still life scenes and then I do photograph them with a large format 8x10 camera.
Wow. The photographs are beautiful. They're absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
I know. I really love your work. I want to talk about the labor involved in these newer pieces with the insects. I was looking at one of your pieces. I'm trying to remember which one it was that just had thousands of these small moths, these actual real moths, which are very fragile. And difficult to work with. You got to talk to me about the process of putting this together. I just have this vision of you, you know, locked in some garret, you know, with some kind of weird, like Carmina Burana in the background or something. And then like, it's like and with like super microscopic glasses on, like with tweezers, like putting these things together meticulously.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of tweezers. I live in my studio. I have a big live workspace in the distillery in South Boston, so which is convenient, especially now, because I can work whenever. But so with all the different insects that I use so many different types. But for the moths, a lot of them are actually quite large. Like some of them are the size of my hand.
But some of them, you've used a lot of these, like look like the winter moths that we see flying around.
Yeah, itty bitty.
Yeah.
So
how do you even work with those?
It took a lot of practice. They're stronger than you might think that they are, actually.
Okay. Are you gluing them in? Because it looks like there's a lot of movement in your work, too. Especially the newer pieces. So are you gluing them in place or hanging them from wires or what?
All the flying bugs are attached with wires. And then I have my negative scan, like a high-resolution scan, and that allows me, and I get a file, and that allows me to take the wires out in Photoshop. So that's like the extent of the post that I do. I don't do a ton of post except for tweak the image to look good and painterly and then to take the wires out.
So how and would you by your own admission say that these are really labor intensive?
Oh yeah, very much so. Especially now, I think as time goes on, I keep making more complicated things and pushing it. So
this is starting to sound like you servicing art like for your sins. I mean, it really is.
What I feel like it is.
Okay, because that's what it seems like. It's like I must work harder, must work smaller, must put more things in there. And what is going on in your mind as you're putting these things? I mean, there are thousands of pieces in these things.
I know. So a little bit about the process of doing that. I come up with a sketch first. I have the idea, and then I sketch it out. And my sketches are on my website for the most part.
Give out your website.
TaraCelios.com.
Okay. And it's really worth it because beautiful reproductions are on the website, and everybody can understand what we're talking about. Do you sell your sketches, too? Because your sketches are beautiful.
I recently started to. I think I pick and choose what I do sell. I used to be super attached to them.
Okay, but, and I understand that. Sketches are really personal.
They're super personal, but then I got to this point where I kind of became okay with parting with them because I do the sketch for the most part to plan the photograph. So when the photograph's done, I take the sketch off the wall, and I would rather, if someone wanted that and had an attachment to it, probably more so than I have an attachment to it anymore, I'd rather let them have it and fund future work because that is difficult.
Well, especially this year. Talk to me about how this year affected you as an artist.
Well, it's actually, as an artist, it's been great in terms of time. Because
you're locked up inside your studio putting these things together.
And I've been working the whole time, like, right away. And I loved it. I mean, I bartend, so. And I bartend.
So that's tough on that end, too.
Oh, my job is gone. So.
Tara, I'm really sorry.
It's okay. I bartend at House of Blues, and I've always worked in, like, nightclubs and music venues.
Oh, my God.
I've been just kind of riding unemployment. And, I mean, I feel bad for that industry because aside from my job being gone, I miss seeing music, and I feel sorry for
I think a lot of people have said that. You know, a lot of people who love seeing bands and venues and stuff like that, that's been a huge problem.
Oh, it's hard. It's, like, it's really terrible. You realize how much you miss it.
Yeah, and a Zoom meeting thing doesn't make it work.
No, even live. I watched a couple of good live stream shows, like bands doing, you know, a high production live stream that's like really well done. And that's been fun, but it's still not the same. You know, no way.
Yeah, I know. Exactly right. So you've got both those things going on. What about the art world during the pandemic? I mean, is everybody just, the art museums are barely open. Some of them are, some of them aren't. They sort of seem to be struggling too. So the response, did you have shows that had to be canceled at all?
No, thankfully, no. I had my last show a year ago, like last September it opened in 2019. And I was so thankful that I got it out of the way, like pretty much right before all this happened. And I had some talks of maybe things getting scheduled, like a museum show or I don't know. And then this happened and it kind of seems, I don't really know, but I did actually have something great happen. The MFA Boston purchased one of my pieces for their permanent
Congratulations.
Collection.
Congratulations. What piece did they purchase?
That octopus triptych.
Oh, wow.
A while ago. It was an older piece. I kind of wish they bought something new.
Yeah, but everybody's into octopuses right now. Octopuses are a hard thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's that show on Netflix, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the octopus something or other.
Trust me, there's a lot of octopus stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's like...
So that was really cool. And that was part of, when this started, it was part of an initiative for them to start supporting contemporary living and local artists.
Yeah.
Since I don't think museums are getting as much traveling traffic, you know,
no, they're
people
not.
Going to the
no.
people going to the museums are from the area. So museums should maybe start supporting the people that live in their city instead of, you know, I know we don't necessarily make money, but I think that dynamic has to start changing a little bit.
Wow.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think museums are starting to realize that they have to rethink the way that they're approaching the public too. I've been doing a series with the Fitchburg Art Museum and and the Russian Museum of Icons, the two directors there, and following them through this whole pandemic. And it's a constant process of having to turn on a dime and try to think, like, what can you do to get people in the building or to keep in touch? And it's a struggle, man.
Oh, it must be so hard. That's when I start overthinking that. I mean, I have two things that I worry about. I worry about the music world, the live music world. And then I think even more so, I worry about the museum world because, or the art world. I don't know. Just,
I think they were struggling. I really feel that the museum world and visual arts in general were struggling before the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say that.
So, I mean, it's amazing. Like when I look at your work, first of all, it's beautiful in sort of in a macabre sense, but it's still beautiful. But it has all these historical references. So you have to bring to it sort of a somewhat of a knowledge of art. You don't need your degree in art, but it really is helpful to bring in some knowledge about stuff and about animals in itself. And you were talking about Vanitas symbols. So I feel like we've dumbed down as a nation and people just don't have that references anymore.
Yeah, even just kind of a cultural, general cultural knowledge of things.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Tara. I mean, like, let's talk about Vanitas, for example, which you made reference to. I mean, that goes back, when I think about the Dutch painters, they're reminders of memento mori, remembering that everything is vanity, that we're all going to decay and die. And the way the Dutch artists used to do it is they used to have these beautiful paintings and they would stick these things like flies and snails in the corner to remind people that, this is all just vanity. And that's your one big vanitas.
The passing of time, the fragility of everything, how everything, nothing is lasting. So you'll see a lot of skulls, you'll see a lot of snuffed out candles and hourglasses flipped over.
But see, that's what I'm saying. All those are part of a language that's known. I don't know if people relate to it anymore.
I know.
I mean, they can, ooh, cool, like insects. But there's so much more to your work. Your work is really, really deep. Is your work really deep? I mean, I assume that you're like this person who has like, who's pondering all the time about issues of the temporariness of life. You know, but then I talk to you and you sound so like happy.
Well, I am happy. I get to sit and work on art all day right now.
So you just like take out all your inner demons in your work?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that always surprises people. It's so funny. But yeah, I mean, I think about these things and they're just kind of part of the cycle of life in general. And I make art about it. You know,
I mean, you even use Latin names for your work.
Yeah.
Which I have to believe most people don't even know Latin.
No.
Did you
and
take?
I'm okay with that. You know,
really?
People don't need to know. Yeah.
Oh, come on. Because when you have Luxuria is the name of one of your pieces, and you gotta mm-hmm. you gotta know that means lust.
Yeah. Self-indulgent lust.
Self-indulgent. So it's not just lust.
Yeah.
It's self-indulgent lust. Are you fascinated by the seven deadly sins?
I am. I have a body of work called Seven Evil Thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
Based off of that.
So do you have a list of seven deadly sins? This is like trying to remember the names of the seven dwarfs.
do you want me to name them off?
Well, there's lust, there's gluttony.
Greed.
Sloth.
Envy.
Wrath, and pride. But then when you look at older listings, they list some other stuff that's weird, like acedia. Which is to neglect to take care of something.
There are different. If you look at a lot of, I've seen it in some of my old art history books.
Yeah, yeah.
They're different lists, but I think it might even not be. That might not be the seven deadly sins as the proper from that part of the Bible. I think that might have to do with some other chapter book, but I'm not 100% sure off the top of my head.
You're listening, by the way, you're one of the few people I can talk to about this. You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My returning guest tonight is artist and photographer Tari Celio. And you can see examples of her work, and it's a beautiful website. Give out the website address again.
TaraCelios.com.
And spell your name so people know how to.
TaraCelios.
I really recommend going to the website because there's a lot of stuff there that is just beautiful. Now, one of the things you're starting, and this is, I want to talk to you about this system, is you're starting a mentoring process. Talk to me about why that was important to you.
So I've always loved giving lectures and teaching in small doses. I never have taught a real full-blown class in college. But I've been invited by teachers and friends, and I have a lot of friends that teach art in college level. So they'll have me speak at their classes, and I've always really enjoyed doing that. When I was a student, I loved visiting artists. That was my favorite thing, when teachers would bring in other artists and they would speak about their work. And
oh, I love that.
Their influences,
yeah,
and
yeah.
They'd have a slideshow of what they're looking at and kind of their thought process behind it. And for me, that was a way of kind of teaching in my own independent way that didn't consume all of my time. So it kind of came out of nowhere where a friend recommended a student to me. She was looking for a mentor. It was actually Steven Dorado, you know, Steven.
Oh, yeah, I know Steven.
Recommended me for somebody, and I started doing it. And during the pandemic, it was on Zoom. We had a chance to meet once in real life. And I just really love doing that. I love the one-on-one. I feel like I have enough space in my mind and in my artistic practice to be able to start helping other people.
Sure.
And inspiring them. And then during the pandemic, I gave a lecture at San Francisco Art Institute, and one of the MFA students asked me to mentor them as well. So I have gotten a couple students to teach and work with, whenever they want. It's very, I don't want to say casual, but we meet whenever they want to. And that could be, you know, if they wanted to once a week, that'd be fine. If they wanted to every 2 months, that's fine. So it's very much up to them.
Let's just use these two students as an example. What are they looking for from you? Are they looking for critiques? Are they looking?
Critiques, yes.
Are they looking for inside information about the art biz?
I think it would definitely depend. When I get more students, it's probably, you know, it depends on the person. One of the students is an established artist. She's had museum shows. She had a show at the Fitchburg. And I think she just needed that. She recently got her MFA, and she just needed that extra set of critique or discussion. I also recommend books to them, things to read, assignments. And then one of my other students is very different, and he has no art experience, and kind of he was a physical therapist, and he kind of decided to take the time for himself to explore his creative side. So he's coming from a different place where he just needs total guidance on where to go and to find his, help him find kind of his artistic voice.
And so he hasn't even decided on what materials to work on?
Mostly photography, but he's been playing with other things like sketching and stuff.
Your photography is absolutely outstanding. How did you learn about photography? I mean, you're taking these. When I look at your photographs, first of all, they all look like they're photographed in purgatory.
Because
there's
cool. I like that.
Yeah, there's like no point of reference. It sort of looks like the moon. It's dark. There's some dirt there or ash or I have no idea. Ground up human skeletons, and it has this timeless, placeless quality to it that's very, very unique, and it looks like it's very hard to photograph into light. Is it?
I use natural light, so it's actually pretty easy. I always say I'm not a very, like, quote unquote good photographer. I don't use a light meter. I don't use light. You know, like,
come on, Tara. You get these.
I just wing it.
So you just, until you get the right kind of shot.
I only take one. I've been doing it for so long in this scenario that I kind of just know what to do at this point.
So it's instinctual.
Yeah, very much so.
I find that I find that just hard to believe, but I believe you.
Why is that?
Because it's so different. The photographs are so amazing. They're so huge. It's so detailed. And I love the natural lighting then. The natural lighting, it's very gentle.
Yeah, that's why it's painterly, and that's why I use it. So
how big are your final photographs?
I would go as big as if I could afford to go massive, 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 I would. But typically in a show, I think the largest I've shown recently is 80 inches tall frames.
Yeah.
So big. They're meant to go large. I mean, that's why I shoot the 8x10. You can go 12 feet high and it still looks good.
Absolutely amazing. So am I to understand that you're still accepting people to mentor?
Absolutely. That's something I want to pursue more.
So if people are interested, they should get in touch with you via your website.
Yes. Sure.
Okay. And we'll give that out once more before we sign off. We only have a couple of minutes left anyways. But I want to talk to you. You've done an installation. Have you ever done other installations?
I've done two in gallery spaces.
Do you like it?
I love doing that.
Are you able to control the light? Because lighting is everything for your pieces. It needs to be so perfectly lit.
That's the thing. It's kind of, there's elements to it that I don't have control over in certain spaces. So you're kind of at the mercy of what the gallery offers and the gallery space and also the time constraints, because a lot of gallery spaces, the show comes down, then you have like 2 days to put the next show up. So I have to like work within those parameters.
Wow.
But I would love to do it in a museum setting where I have even more control of the light and the room and the space. So yeah, I would, and if I had the time to make something kind of elaborate, that's definitely something that I love and would love to pursue more of.
Can I ask you, like, did you always do work like this? Or what was the, were you like a painter, drawer, photographer in a more traditional sense early on in your career?
So I went to art school as a fine arts major. So I was drawing and painting, and I got in, and I always just wanted to be an artist. I didn't want to be an illustrator or a graphic designer or whatever.
So you wanted to be poor?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why I started bartending. So yeah, I knew what to do.
But actually, that's a reality most people don't realize. I think people think that artists are rolling in the dough.
No, I'm not rolling in the dough.
No, sure. No. Most artists have another thing they do in order to pay rent. Yeah, absolutely.
And even if you sell work, I mean, it's not enough.
No, you're not going to sell enough work to support yourself for a year.
No, absolutely not.
No, you got to have a job.
So when I was in school for that, I hated drawing boxes in the middle of the room like they make you do in art school. So I switched into photography because it was a thing that I didn't really know anything about, and it's so technical. So
and you fell in love with it? You fell in love with it?
I did, and I had kind of toyed with it a little bit.
Tara, we're completely out of time.
Oh, man. Wow.
Give out your website again.
Okay. TaraSelios.com.
My returning guest tonight, and you got to check out her work, it's breathtaking, is artist and photographer Tara Selios. And please check out her website and look at her work. It is beautiful, melancholic, and all the rest of it. Tara, it's always a pleasure talking to you. There's nobody else I can talk to about envy and lust to in the same way.
And vanitas.
Vanitas. Oh, I mean, thank God. You had me at vanitas. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch.